First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can go for all of the latest, any stories or anything else we've got going. You can also get the latest podcast of this show for you guys who don't listen live. Caller numbers, as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you folks that are in a listening queue, as always, we appreciate you, but please hit that number one on your dial pad, and we'll know you want to be heard on air. For everyone else, the chat room is open, so you can sign in either right here at BTR, or you can sign in using Facebook or Twitter accounts as well. There's all kinds of opportunities to make sure you're heard. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, I would ask that you please join our email newsletter. It will be sent to you on a weekly or monthly basis, your choice, and it just sends you all the updates we do. And also join the RSS feed so you can listen direct to all the latest podcasts of this show. And if you're so inclined, we depend on you guys and your generosity a lot to keep everything going. And we do have a donate button on that page as well at LouisvillePolitics.com. We would appreciate any help you wanted to give us. In the meantime, so much going on. I tell you, it just never stops. It really doesn't. It's crazy. We're going to kind of bounce around just a little bit at the beginning here for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to get into serious stuff, more on Alice in Wonderland Grimes, and so many things are just unbelievable. The cover-ups that are going on, you know, for the Democratic media, primarily the Courier-Journal at this point, it's fascinating, the double standards, the hypocrisy, and everything else that these guys have. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. But one of the stories that I wanted to point out to you guys today, you know, it's one that you probably already know. We do this show on the line, so we depend on our internet service to keep everything rolling smoothly. And of course, as you guys know, you know, that has sometimes been a problem, you know, for bandwidth or whatever has happened with the internet service providers. Well, here's one most people probably already know that use the internet. At least 58% of the people in Kentucky do. But Kentucky is among the worst states in the nation for internet service and prices for that service. According to a recent study by Blue Fire Broadband, it's a satellite internet company, and they offer the services primarily in primarily in rural areas where cable and DSL and stuff aren't exactly real easy to get. But so they listed all 50 states from the best to the worst in four categories: broadband speed increase, average broadband speed in 2014, the price drop per megabit per second, and the average price per megabit per second for this year. Kentucky has been ranked as the second worst broadband speed at 15.97 meg on average. You heard me right. The second worst broadband speed in the nation. And third is Maine. What's really fascinating here, too, is you look at the pricing. Kentucky is ranked 39th in price at $3.95 a megabit. So, you wonder why we can't do good things here. You wonder why sometimes there are problems and different things. Well, there you go. There you go. You know, we continue trying to act like we want to bring technology in here and business with technology in here to the state of Kentucky, and we can't give them internet services worthwhile. Why is that? You can look to your Kentucky leaders, and right here in Louisville, you can look to your Democratic mafia. I know people get offended when I use that term. Sorry about your luck. But, they get these prime deals before with Insight, now with Time Warner. Comcast is looking to buy Time Warner, so who knows how that's going to end up. But as long as they get their perks and balances for government for what they want, nobody else really matters. Nobody else really matters. So until we're willing to tell the state of Kentucky leadership and Louisville, quite frankly, there is no reason that a Time Warner or an AT&T or any of the other providers here in Louisville are intentionally withholding the bandwidth. There's none. There's none. There's no reason why we can't compete with real internet services and real speed that would help us get technology here in the state. So I thought that was a pretty interesting article. I will put a link to that into the chat room for you guys if you want to read everything that goes with it. It was just interesting to me because I was looking at that and I was like, well, that explains a lot. Considering that, on occasion, not often, but on occasion, we do have some issues with broadband speed right here on this show. So it is kind of fascinating. Bouncing around a little bit, I ran across a story today at benswan.com, and I found this disturbing. This is how pathetic our government has gotten. 10-year-old Tiffany Miranda lives in Santa Fe Springs, California. She has a very severe seizure disorder, so she can't really go out in public parks and play on playground equipment and those kind of things. The Make-A-Wish Foundation, very worthy organization, have a lot of respect for it. The Make-A-Wish Foundation decided they were going to get involved, and they built her own playground set in the backyard at her mom and dad's house. Now, you would think this would not be an issue, right? Make-A-Wish comes in. They go ahead and build a playground to make this little girl's life easier. It's a great thing to do, blah, blah, blah. This should not be an issue. But according to CBS Los Angeles, the Santa Fe Springs city government in California gave her parents, the tourists, a citation ordering the family to remove the playground from their backyard. They said that this playground in their backyard is an eyesore. Does anybody have a problem with that? I most certainly do. We'll put that link in the chat room for you guys as well. It's got pictures of the playground and everything else. I most certainly have a problem with that. Here you are with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, who is trying, they spend all of their time trying to make wishes come true for children who have terminal diseases and other things, And Santa Fe Springs says, we don't like the fact that your child has a playground in her backyard. So, Jessica Torres, Tiffany's mother, said that she asked the city, where do you expect my daughter to play? And the city's response, get ready for this. The city's response is, we're not responsible for your daughter's disability, and Tiffany is not our problem. Was Santa Fe Springs right with that comment or that statement? Well, yeah, they're not responsible for Tiffany's disability. Tiffany is the problem of her parents, Jessica Torres' mother, you know, her mother, Jessica Torres. However, they may not be responsible for her disability, but if Tiffany is not their problem, how could Tiffany's swing set on her own property be their problem either? It's incredible to me. They want to be cold and callous. They think that it's okay. Government thinks that it's okay to make anything you do with your private property their business and their problem. And to be so cold and callous to Jessica Torres and Tiffany Miranda, that is incredible to me. You know, Tiffany has an opportunity to be a normal kid for limited spurts. She's got her own little playground in the backyard that she can take care of when she can get there, you know. And this is the way it is. So Santa Fe Springs City Manager Thaddeus McCormick was contacted by CBS Los Angeles. And lo and behold, according to City Manager Thaddeus McCormick, they just wanted the family to clean up around the playset and they could keep it. The reporter, Adriana Weingold, for CBS Los Angeles, went and personally investigated the family's property, and she described it as neat and tidy. So what's to clean up? She also looked at the citations that were sent from the city to the family, and the citation order clearly orders them to dismantle the playset and get rid of it. So City Manager Thaddeus McCormick is lying through his teeth. Lying through his teeth. You know, this is government overreach on a massive level once again. Once again, you can't even enjoy the privacy of your own home. You can't enjoy the privacy of your yard, a fenced yard. You can't have a swing set or a slide or a playground for your child on your own property. The city says you're not their problem, but they seem to think that they have a problem because you have something on your property that benefits your child, and they can't regulate it, so they're going to make you dispose of it. It's incredible to me. And according to Jessica Torres, no one, City Manager Thaddeus McCormick, and no one has contacted her to tell her that she can keep the playground equipment, you know, because she's got a citation that says it must be gotten rid of. Somebody explain this to me, because I just really don't get it. You know, so here we've got government overreach once again, and it's going to affect a small child. And to me, that is just dead wrong. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just looking at things too hard. We did have a good ruling come out today that I think was very fascinating. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled yesterday, actually, that North Carolina, the voting restrictions that they put in for this election cycle in November, they can move forward with those. The court has nullified an appeals court ruling last week that basically said North Carolina, parts of North Carolina's election overhaul would cause irreparable harm this November to African American voters. I like the way that all of these damn, you know, liberal judges in some cases, you know, in most cases really, sit here and say, oh, well, this is going to harm the African American voter. That's the basis for a lawsuit. Anything is going to harm an African American voter. If you want an ID, a voter ID card, well, that's going to harm the African-American voter. If you don't want an ID card, well, that's going to harm the African-American voter. If you want the African-American voter to vote on election day like the majority of people do, well, that's going to harm the African-American voter. We got to let them vote 6 months in advance. Just stupid stuff. So the U.S. Supreme Court, and this is the second time they've done this, they basically went through the same situation in Ohio. The Supreme Court said that the state could move forward with their new voting overhaul. So I think that's a good thing. Essentially, the Supreme Court right now, even though these are just stays, they're not rulings, but these are stays against these appeals court and these runaway courts, you know, from keeping them from forcing their agenda versus enforcing the law. The Supreme Court is saying, you know what, this is part of states' rights. We're going to stay this, and we'll get to it later. And I like that. I like that. For once, the Supreme Court is saying that the states have rights to decide their own voting rules, their own voting laws. And I'm in favor of that. So even though this is a stay, it's not a final result. Of course, this will get to the Supreme Court later moving forward. But twice now, the Supreme Court has stepped in Ohio and now North Carolina and are telling the whole world, you know what? Let the states make their own decisions. I'm getting sick of thinking that every minority in this country is being shafted with the right to vote. When I go vote, there are many minority there. I have to show an ID. I always have. I don't have any problems with that. The single greatest thing that we have in this country is the right to vote, because that vote determines our future. There are people that could argue both sides of the equation and say their vote don't matter and all that. That's fine. Argue all you want to. But for me, the right to vote means that I have a say in determining my future. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I really, really do. So I'm glad the Supreme Court is stepping in. This isn't anything unusual. According to Carl Tobias, he teaches constitutional law at the University of Richmond, he says that, you know, it's pretty normal for the court to grant a stay in these kinds of situations. You know, they don't really have a lot of time to listen to the case or make decisions. Of course, the elections are in less than a month, right? So they don't have time to do due diligence, so you put a stay out. You stay the rulings of the other courts, you let the states do their own business, and you decide it later. If you get involved this late in the game, what are you going to accomplish? Absolutely nothing. You're going to muddy up the voting process. Let the states handle their business, and I'm glad for that. I tell you, we you know, I can't get rid of the Alice in Wonderland Grimes stuff if I wanted to. If I wanted to. And I tell you why. Joe Girth, reporter at the Courier-Journal, put out what can only be described as an opinion piece, but the Courier-Journal likes to make this act like it's news, and this is a real news story. But Joe Girth put out a story today talking about the latest for Project Veritas and the Allison Grimes situation. As all of you know by now, we've talked about it on the air a couple of times this week. Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, has some people go undercover at these Allison Grimes events. He was able to get Allison Grimes workers to tell him that Allison Grimes was lying on her stance on coal. He also had Crit Llewellyn. Crit Llewellyn, one of the biggest named Democrats in Kentucky, I should say, former state auditor, well regarded on both sides of the aisle, whether you're Democrat or Republican in most cases. She even went on record and said that Allison Lundinger Grimes was basically lying, and because Barack Obama and the EPA has already destroyed coal, so it's an easy lie for Allison Lundinger Grimes to make, and it's not really a big deal. She's got to say what she's got to say to get elected. Imagine my surprise. Imagine my surprise when Joe Girth puts out an article in the paper this morning. And he has the audacity to say this is a non-story, it's a non-event, and rather than deal with the factual information that was on these hidden videos and hidden recordings, he decided to attack Project Veritas and James O'Keefe himself to try to make this spin on behalf of Alice in Wonderland Grimes. What's really fascinating here is, you know, he goes on to trash Project Veritas and this whole project, and he likes to talk about how the videos are clearly edited, and then he wants to do a personal attack against James O'Keefe. You know, he talks about how these investigators go undercover, which means they pretend to be someone they're not, and tries to say that this is essentially lying about who they are. And goes on to say that the Courier Journal and most newspapers won't do that. Well, he's right about one thing. The Courier Journal doesn't lie about who they are because it's clearly obvious who they are. What's to lie about? But, you know, Project Veritas are the ones who brought us stories about Acorn, got us the truth about Acorn by going undercover. They brought us the truth about the public broadcasting system by going undercover. You know, you've got all of these things here. And so he is chastising James O'Keefe and saying that they scammed their way into offices to trick staff members into revealing information. And then he goes on to point out that O'Keefe pled guilty to a misdemeanor. He got probation, some community service, and a $1,500 fine. And here's the kicker for me. He says Project Veritas has also been found to slice and dice videos in what some might consider unethical ways, and the videos that are out there now are clearly edited. This whole story is so amazing. It's crazy. I just put the link in the chat room for you. I tell you, Joe Girth is a reporter. There is not one story that Joe Girth has ever put out in his lifetime that was not edited. There is not one story Joe Girth has put out in his lifetime at the Courier Journal that was not edited towards the end result to back up his claim. That's journalism. If you're going to make the claim that something is wrong or something is bad, then typically you have to prove it. Otherwise, it's just opinion. In my behalf, I put out all kinds of evidence, but I am very, very sure to make sure that you folks know when something is an opinion or a rumor or my opinion or, you know, whatever way you want to word it. I make sure you know that there's, you know, what I believe, but it's not fact until I can prove it. Now, I go out of my way to give that disclaimer in most everything I do. But for Joe Girth to sit here and act like going undercover as a reporter is some sort of an illegal dealing is absurd. Reporters do this constantly. We have the national news that does this stuff. 2020, for goodness sake, ABC News made a big claim to fame and fortune by going undercover to catch potential pedophiles, to catch adults that were going out and making dates and meeting with what they thought were underage children for sex. That's undercover. The police do it all the time. Reporters do it all the time. But if you want to talk about how there is such a spin by a Democratic-controlled mainstream so-called media in this town, I don't think you have to look any further than that particular column by the Courier Journal and Joe Girth. Every story is edited. Every video is edited. The Courier Journal and the online portion of their news, if you will, now uses a lot of video. They do these little quick videos, 2-3 minutes long, on stories. Those are edited. They're just live reports from a reporter, and he just finishes what he wants to say, and they cut the cameras off. They don't catch the rest. You know, so to sit here and go after Project Veritas and challenge their integrity after the things that they have accomplished, including Acorn and PBS, things that were very, very detrimental information, thanks to undercover reporters, investigators, is absurd. It is completely absurd to have something like that done by a guy who has been in media as long as Joe Girth has been in media. This is more the lies and the corruption and the cover-ups and the trying to, you know, put that lipstick on that pig, if you will, to try to make it seem like it's no big deal. He says that in the end, the video showed nothing more than speculation about her position on Cole. I don't believe that you can sit here and honestly say that this is nothing but speculation. When one person says there's a problem, it's speculation. When two people say there's a problem, it's speculation. But when you go to multiple locations and talk to multiple people, I think one can reasonably presume that you're beyond speculation. You can presume that this is a standard of behavior. There's nothing wrong with that. I am just really insulted today by Joe Girth. He just put the Courier Journal even further down, if you will, in that barrel of non-existence and really non-news. I mean, this is just ridiculous to me. It really is. And I know I'm spending time on this. But to sit here and scream and holler and try to discount someone for going undercover to investigate anything, really, his words are this. The organization's investigators go undercover, meaning they pretend to be someone that they are not. So they're essentially lying about who they are. And that's something that the Courier Journal and most newspapers won't do. What a crock. Ever read a story in the Courier Journal that they said was an undercover report? It's an undercover report on an undercover investigation. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous to me. Then he accuses O'Keefe and everybody else of scamming their way into a U.S. senator's office. Well, you know what? You can't scam your way into a U.S. senator's office. If you're going to go undercover and you get in the damn door, guess what? Do they not have some kind of a problem with their entries? You know, it's not like they barge into the doors and say, Senator, Senator, Senator. And the whole slice and dice videos or edit anything is just the most absurd claim I have ever heard. It really, really is. I tell you, I just get disgusted. We're going to take the bottom of the hour break real quick. When we get back, we are going to switch gears. Because we're going to talk a little bit about President Obama and all these billionaires that he seems to have a problem with. And we're also going to point out something I believe will just verify my point on Joe Girth. So stick around. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to the Ed Spencer Show right here on the NBM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Yes, we are back, folks. We are back. Call our numbers as always, 858-683-1326. or 502-805-0334. In the listening queue, hit that number one on your dial pad, and we'll try to get you on here as soon as possible. I tell you, I just can't get over this hypocritical double standard. We've become so accustomed to it, Courier-Journal, coming from mainstream media here in Louisville. You know, this kind of crap is the problem. You know, most people are saying, give us the news. Just tell us what the real deal is. We'll make up our own minds. And this is the problem. It's the spin. It's the crazy stuff. And I tell you, you know, there is a story here. If you want proof, let's start here. You know, everybody says that the Republicans are the party of the rich. Okay? We know this. There's a Yahoo story out, actually, and I think I'll post that in there as well. Man, you guys are getting a lot of links tonight. You know, there's a Yahoo story out there, and this story says that everybody thinks that Republicans are the party of the rich. It's a label that has really stuck forever. If you're Republican, people think you're rich. You know, and now you're hearing about it all over again. You got President Obama talking about this, and we'll get into that in a minute. You know, but Democrats are continuing to complain that the GOP, you know, opposition to raising minimum wage and extending unemployment benefits is because they don't care about poor people. Well, the reality is this. In Congress, the wealthiest are more likely to be represented by a Democrat than a Republican. In the 10 richest House districts in the nation, in our Congress, our congressional districts, only two have Republican congressmen. Democratic districts in the top 10 include six Democrats on the East and the West Coasts. You'll know why in a minute, because most of those are Democratic states like New York and California. But the richest congressional district is the 12th congressional district that Democrat Carolyn Maloney is in her 11th term representing. All right. Now, why would I get this far into stats and numbers and things like that? Well, it's real simple. It's real simple. The per capita income in Democrat Carolyn Maloney's district, the 12th congressional district in New York, is $75,479. That's more than $75,000 a year for every man, woman, and child in her district. The next highest income district comes into Southern California Coast, and that's $61,273 a year. And that is represented by, dun-dun-dun, Democrat Henry Waxman. House Democrat leader Nancy Pelosi's district comes in at number 8. These are the wealthiest districts we're talking about. So why is this important, and how does this come back to Joe Girth? Yeah, I get all of that. I know you want to know. Well, here's why. Here's why. Because across the country, Democratic House districts average $27,893 per man, woman, and child in those districts. That is $1,000 per person higher than the average income in the Republican districts. So, you know, now you think about this. Think about how many poor neighborhoods or poor districts the Democrats continue to get elected in so they can keep these neighborhoods poor. You think about these districts, the poor districts that Democrats say that they represent, and you're adding all of these people into this average mix, and they still have a higher per capita income than Republican districts. So why is this important? Well, during the 2012 presidential election, Romney actually made a couple of quotes. Dumb quotes, no doubt about it. All right, we don't deny that. But he said one thing that was true. He said, we're not the party of the rich. We're the party of the people who want to get rich. That much is a true statement. That's what the GOP says they are. Okay? Now, whether you think the GOP is really a GOP anymore is up to debate. But that was his statement. But he also made another quote that became famous that, you know, people took offense to. A quote that he made about the 47% of Americans who pay no federal income tax. He was secretly taped at a private fundraiser. You know, remember, secretly taped at a private fundraiser. Is this an illegal thing, according to Joe Girth, that someone would go undercover and secretly, illegally tape a speech at a private fundraiser by Mitt Romney? He says that it's no big deal. It's a bunch of bullshit when it comes to Allison Grimes. All right. But he said, Mitt Romney said, my job is not to worry about those people. I'll never convince them that they should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. Now, that statement, I guess if you're looking for proof or a smoking gun of the hypocrisy of Joe Gertz and everybody like him, I think that that could potentially be considered one. Because the Courier-Journal wrote articles about this, chastising Mitt Romney and his comments that were based on an undercover, secretly taped speech at a private fundraiser. The Courier-Journal also did the same thing to Mitch McConnell earlier this year with the whole whack-a-mole incident, for lack of a better word. Two guys, Kurt Morrison and Sean Riley, illegally taped a private meeting behind closed doors that Mitch McConnell had. They weren't even invited to the meeting. They taped it through a vent in the door, from what we understand. Illegally taped this, released this tape to Mother Jones, and the Courier-Journal was all over Mitch McConnell, chastising everything that his staff was saying. Jesse Benton and others among those. His staffers were saying there's some things that they didn't agree with about Ashley Judd. It was an illegal wiretap. Kurt Morrison took off to California. Sean Riley is behind the scenes getting paid for somebody. The Courier-Journal had no problem with that because Mitch McConnell is a Republican senator. They had no problem taking those illegal recordings and taking Mitch McConnell to the woodshed. But yet somehow, some way, miraculously, Project Veritas releases some recordings that were done undercover. And they can't see the hypocrisy in that. And they attack the messenger instead of dealing with the message. Folks, that's not journalism. That is not journalism. To present that as some sort of a news with a double standard and a hypocrisy, attacking Mitch McConnell and then attacking Mitt Romney because they're both Republicans, and that's the only reason they did that, and then to sit here and say because someone returned a favor with a Democrat that that's just wrong and the messenger is so screwed up, nobody could take anything serious to put a personal attack on James O'Keefe, we should be insulted. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Cancel your subscription to the Courier-Journal. Do it today. Do it today. Don't give them people a dime of your money. They are not worthy. They are not worthy. I'm not telling you to switch it over and get some kind of a Fox News newspaper content, whichever that is. I'm just telling you, get rid of Gannett altogether. USA Today, Courier-Journal, they're all Gannett organized. They're nothing but a Democrat liberal establishment that doesn't give one hoot about the news. They don't care. And this double standard and hypocrisy that Joe Gertz has put out today proves it once again. Cancel. Tell them you've had enough of the lies and deception with your pocketbook, because that's the only thing that these people understand. I want to talk about these billionaires and this rich GOP that the liberal media continues lying about. They carry Barack Obama's water. Obama keeps blaming the media now, saying the media is why his approval numbers are so low, which is a crock, as we both know. That's it. It's just a crock. This liberal media has carried Barack Obama's water for so long, they have not held him accountable to the same standards that they have anyone else, including George Bush. George Bush is not the problem in this country today, 6 years later, folks. He's not. Get over it. But now he wants to blame mainstream media who treated him with kid gloves for all this time because his approval rating's down. I mean, Chris Matthews was so excited about it, so excited about Barack Obama. You know, he went on his news program talking about how he felt a warmth running down his leg or something along that line. Because he was so giddy about Barack Obama. Even he had a change of face just a couple of weeks ago. He can't stand it anymore. He can't carry the water anymore. He's disgusted as all of us are. And this is a guy who had the running warmth down his leg that was because he loved Barack Obama so much. So we're in election season now. We're seeing the hypocrisy and the double standard for mainstream media. We've definitely seen it here in this town forever, in Louisville, Kentucky. But then we've got to go, we've got to start looking at more lies. This is the problem. You can't get the truth from these liberal politicians. According to Page6.com, President Obama blasted the Republicans as the party of billionaires on Tuesday, while he was out at a fundraising event at the $26 million estate of Rich Richmond, this is his real name, in Greenwich, Connecticut. Richmond has a $10 billion company, that deals with rental housing. Now, rental housing, as we know, has become a racket. It's nothing but a racket. A lot of people in rental housing are nothing but slumlords. That's all they are. They do the Section 8 bid, take the government money, tell you to screw you if they're supposed to fix something on a property because it's not livable or unworkable. Screw you, we'll just put somebody else in here, and they do. They kick you out on the street. They're going to keep their money. Now, I'm not saying that that's who Rich Richmond is. I'm just telling you, a guy makes a $10 billion fortune on rental housing? Are you serious? But the important thing here is that Obama is blasting Republicans as the party of billionaires while he is cavorting around to all these billionaires' homes, getting massive amounts of cash donated to the DNC and the super PACs that he's griping about the GOP doing. So Obama's sitting there screwing around, palling around with Rich Richmond and the other high rollers. The press is in the basement. I don't know what they were doing, playing pool or something, I guess, according to this. And then he sends out, and Obama blasts an email out that says, if Republicans win, we know who they'll be fighting for. Once again, the interests of billionaires will come before the needs of the middle class. He sends this email out. He had just left New York, attending a fundraiser that was put together by billionaire George Soros and billionaire Paul Tudor Jones to go to another fundraiser with billionaire Rich Richmond. It's fascinating. And, of course, Obama, you know, gets to fly in a convoy of four helicopters and lands at the Greenwich Polo Club. You know, so, yeah, this guy knows all about poor, and he knows all about, you know, the Republicans own all the billionaires. Well, that's not exactly true either. And I tell you, what was really interesting about his arrival in Greenwich, Connecticut, and going to Rich Richmond's fundraiser was the fact that Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy did not attend. He did not attend. According to the Stanford Advocate, Governor Malloy didn't attend because he did not want to alienate the state's large block of independent voters. He wanted to keep a safe distance from Obama until after the election. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. All you have to do is a little bit of research. It's not hard to do. The internet is a beautiful thing when you want to research stuff. So you've got Connecticut governor who doesn't want to be around Barack Obama because he's scared he's going to alienate the independent voters who are a large, you know, block in the state for voting. He doesn't want to be seen with Obama because he's scared people will not vote for him because of it. Obama is saying the Republicans, you know, if they win this election, the only people they're going to represent are the billionaires, but the only place Obama goes is to the billionaire fundraisers. George Soros. We hear so much about the Koch brothers. And yes, I know, but I always call them the Koch brothers. You know, we hear so much about the Koch brothers. These billionaires and the GOP and blah, 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 blah. And yet we just gave to you a couple of weeks ago the list of all of the money that the Koch brothers fund in charities and helping people and giving back to communities. But they're labeled as the big, bad, mean, overbearing billionaire supporters of the GOP, and they're what's wrong with America. What's wrong with America is the hypocrisy and double standards that we continue to enjoy. And our own president is leading the way. Our own president is leading the way. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, Open Secrets, and you can go to politifact.com, and I'll put this in the chat room as well, just so you can have fun with it. I hate it when people think I'm not really giving you all the information. This isn't a habit, folks. I'm just in a good mood tonight. I feel like putting stuff out. But, you know, according to that, the Open Secrets database, and this is all the disclosure data you can get that's open records through the Federal Election Commission, they were able to put together some sort of a list of how America's billionaires really play out in each party. So when they cross-checked the Open Secrets list of the top 100 individuals donating to outside spending groups during this election cycle, you know, notice the outside spending groups. You know, that's not the individual candidate. Those are the things like the super PACs, you know, the DNC, the RNC, whatever. But these outside spending groups, they found out when they compared that to the list of the world's billionaires, this was back on June 19th, is the last date that they went through. There were 22 billionaires on the Open Secrets list. Of those 22 billionaires, 13, more than half, folks, 13 gave their money mainly to liberal groups or groups affiliated with the Democratic Party. 13 billionaires out of 22 were giving most of their money to the Democratic Party and any affiliated groups with them. They had to be a liberal group. And, of course, the other nine gave predominantly to conservative groups. So you've got 13 billionaires who are funding the Democrat-liberal agenda versus nine who are funding the GOP conservative agenda. But the GOP is nothing but the billionaires, and that's all they represent. Explain that to me. We know that the majority, or the Democratic House districts, we know, I just gave you that information a few minutes ago, that the Democratic House districts that are the richest, you know, the Democratic, overall, the Democratic House districts as an average of per capita income that is higher than Republican-controlled districts. So the citizen on the street in the Democratic Party has more money than the citizen on the street in the Republican Party, on average. And that includes all the poor and everything else in the average that the Democrats state that they're working for. We now know that out of the 22 billionaires who are putting money into politics, that the majority of them are donating to liberal Democrats and liberal groups that are Democrat-related. 13 out of 22. 13 compared to 9 that are contributing to the GOP. You know, when you look at some of these people that are doing it, let's look at these big players. George Soros. Billionaire George Soros. We just told you about his event that he put together for the Democratic Party in New York, that Barack Obama flew from to Greenwich, Connecticut to go with another billionaire with Rich Richmond. former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg pours money into the Democrat liberal agenda, the outside groups and everything else. So explain to me how the GOP controls all the money and is buying elections. Who's buying the elections, folks? Who's got the majority of the billionaires? So who do you think is representing the billionaires' interest? It's the Democratic Party. Look around you. Look at what the liberal agenda has done. Are the poor getting richer? No. Do we have real jobs created? No. Do we have the same opportunities today that we had, say, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? No. The only thing that's happened is they have swayed the numbers. They have changed the numbers. We continue being told that, well, you know, unemployment is going down. That's another lie. That's another illusion. Unemployment can't be going down. When the number of people in the workforce become less and the unemployment rate drops at the same time, that's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. How can unemployment be less when you have less people working? Oh, that's right. Because the government no longer counts you once your benefits run out. Well, they don't have benefits anymore, so they're not counted as unemployed. They're counted as not looking for work. That's a lie. Hell of a lot of people out there looking for work. But their benefits ran out, so they have no income. So we just throw them out on the street and don't count them as people anymore. But it's a good thing those billionaires of the Democratic Party are making you very happy and looking after your welfare, right? Looking after your welfare. These are the things that should disturb you. They should, but they don't, because nobody pays attention to that. Nobody. And this is the thing. According to Zero Hedge, this is last week, everybody is curious why the U.S. unemployment rate slid down to 5.9%. They're saying it's the lowest point since the summer of 2008. And everybody says, oh, well, unemployment's down to 5.9%. Explain to me how it can be when the labor force participation rate has collapsed so greatly. The labor force participation rate, that's the people that they count out there looking for work or employed, in September dropped from an already three-decade low of 62.8% to 62.7%. That is the lowest labor participation rate that we have had in over 36 years. In 1978, under Jimmy Carter, was the last time that we had seen so few people working. The people that are not considered in the labor force because their benefits ran out rose to 92.6 million Americans. It increased by 315,000. When the U.S. government says that they've created 280,000 jobs, and they don't mention that 315,000 have lost their job, that's not a net gain, folks. That's more Americans out of work. When the labor force participation rate drops, that means that there are less people that are out there employed. So how does unemployment drop at the same time? It doesn't. It's all lies and manipulation of the numbers. This is what your liberal agenda has done for you. This is what the liberal agenda has done for you. This is what the billionaire Democrat backers and supporters have done to you. the billionaires that Barack Obama loves to say only the Republicans have, knowing full well the lie that he is portraying or projecting. And people fall for this. Democrats who continue to vote a Democrat only because they believe a party, for some reason, has all the answers. Are they really that stupid or are they that lazy? And I'm not trying to offend. We've got plenty of people on this show that label themselves as Democrats. They listen to the show all the time. I know this because a few of them have sent me email offline and told me different things, or off the air and told me different things. You know, these are conservatives. So maybe we have to get to the terminology, conservative versus liberal. Is the liberal agenda working for you? Because we do have conservative Democrats, the same as we have liberal Republicans. But do you think your politicians are going to talk about conservatism and liberalism? No. They're going to continue to divide us on party. And for those people who think that just because they're a registered Democrat, that the only people they can vote for are Democrats, because those are the only people that know what's going on, they're too lazy to get informed. I, today, am a registered Republican. I spent the majority of my life as a registered Democrat. Never once have I voted in my lifetime based on that party distinction. As a Democrat, there were several times that I voted Republican because I thought those people were the best for the job, based on research and knowledge. As a Republican, I am not opposed to voting for a Democrat if I believe that person can do a better job. That's it. So I'm an independent voter who just happens to have a D or an R behind their name, because in order to vote in a primary, I have to. So I have changed my voter registration 3 or 4 times just to vote in a primary for a candidate that I believed in. I guess at the end of the day, the bottom line is this. We have a record number of women. The Democratic Party says that they care so much about women. We have a record number of women, 16 years and older, who are not counted as part of the labor force because they did not participate in the labor force in the month of September. 55,553,000 women are not counted as part of the labor force because they weren't getting unemployment benefits or they couldn't find a job. This is according to the Bureau of Labor Stats, folks. Said that they didn't have a job. That is a raise from the month before. It is a raise of over 200,000 women. The liberals care about women? It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's time to get over this two-party stranglehold, the Democrat versus Republicans, and get back into the mindset of being a real American and understand America comes first. It is an honor and a privilege to vote in this country. As a veteran, it's one of the proudest things I've done is to fight or to stand ready to fight to protect your rights. It was an honor and a privilege to do so. Do not let America degrade further because of the asinine lies that both parties throw on us because the Uniparty is alive and well. Do not fall for the asinine lies and let this country go down any further. There is no excuse for it. Today, knowledge is at your fingertips. Take advantage of the resources available. Vote accordingly and make this a better America because at the rate we're going now, it's going to get ugly, folks. That's it for tonight. Our good friend Ken Mulman will be here Sunday night at 7 o'clock with his Liberty Unbridled show. And I, of course, will be back on Monday with more of the Ed Springsteen show. In the meantime, folks, have a great week. Talk to you later.